Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. Appreciate your presence. And as always, encourage you to take out a Bible and follow along. Make certain that what is said is in accordance to God's Word and not man's opinion. Last Sunday morning, we were blessed to have Brother Melvin Curry speak to us. And so the first Sunday of the month, I wasn't able to preach in the morning. So I pushed the theme for the year to today. We're going to continue on with our theme for the year, which is to walk by faith. And it is really one of the most important things that we need to be thinking about on a daily basis is living in accordance to a proper faith in God. And what we've done this year is once a month we have focused on a particular passage that talks about faith. And thus far then we've talked about Hebrews 11:6, which says without faith it is impossible to please Him. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1 we looked at the definition of faith as it defines it. And you might recall, because I expect everybody to remember February sermons, you might recall that we talked about two different types of faith there. There is faith that is what you believe, and then there is the faith, which is what God has declared that we need to believe. And I believe you will find that those two intersect in today's lesson. 1 Peter 1 verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. It's hard to argue right now that faith isn't important. Without it, you can't please God, and it leads to the salvation of your souls. Romans 10 verse 17, that faith comes from hearing. James 2 24, that we're justified not by faith alone. James 1 and verse 6, he must ask in faith without any doubting. And then we really looked at the passage that really starts the theme in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 last month. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And what I want to do this morning is to turn our attention to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 as our passage for this morning. It is a passage that, I mean, it's so obvious that it needs to be in this theme, but actually it's a challenging passage to me. For the last 20 years, I haven't quite understood it. It just seems to pop up in the middle of 1 John, and I haven't understood. Maybe I'll get to why I don't understand it as we get the sermon along. But this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith matters a lot because it's about victory. I like victory. I'm a fan of winning. Not all of you who have been cursed to have played games with me. Most of you who have know I like to win. I have a problem. I like to win a lot. So if I'm in a debate, I do not accept, let's just agree to disagree. I agree, you're right, Jared. I accept that. And so I have to be careful because I like to win. I'm not kidding. I have a problem. When I play with kids, you know how you play kids' games? I'm not the guy who like just spikes a volleyball in their face and says, "In your face!" I'm not that guy. But I also don't lose. I will make it so that they can have fun. I can make it so they feel good about how they're doing. But I don't lose. I like to win. And I haven't met anybody who's different. Now, I've met people that have differing approaches to it, but everybody likes to win. And we are not in a game. We're in a battle. It was described in Wednesday night. We've been looking at the battle belongs to the Lord. We are in a fight that matters. And we must win. And if winning matters to us as we go into a society in which everybody is trying to squash our faith, to make us to be ashamed of Jesus, to make us quit this direction that we have taken. As we go through this world, we need victory. And when you need victory, what you need is right there. What you need is a focus on faith. As you go through this day, this week, and you're surrounded by these challenges that are going to be there, you need to keep your mind on faith. Because this passage gets translated into our songs as faith is the victory. And so we have, and read 1 John 5 and verse 4, says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's very similar to the passage that Jim kept bringing up in Revelation. I mean, if there's one passage in the book of Revelation that we spent a long time there that really should stick out to you, this is one of them. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. You know what that's describing? That's describing their faith. And it says they overcame because of their faith in Jesus and their faith to declare it and to be willing to die for it. So they were victorious. John, I think, can relate to me in this idea of really liking to win. Because it's in John's letters, perhaps more than any others, where you see this subject of overcoming and of being victorious. If you go to John 16, he's quoting Jesus, but it's about victory. John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Jesus wins. Well, that was basically the message of the book of Revelation, was it not? God wins. And it was a declaration that says, and you need to join him and you need to be victorious. And so in Revelation 2 and verse 7, it says, to him who overcomes. And in all seven letters to the seven churches, he says that. To him who overcomes, to him who is victorious. And he mentions this subject again and again throughout the book of Revelation. John writes a lot about victory. Our focus is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Let's look at the passages that led up to that, this idea of overcoming. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, John says, here's why I'm writing to you, and it's because you're victorious. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And then he goes in chapter 4 and verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And that leads us to our passage again. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. John's focused on victory. And it's a mighty battle that we have to win. You're not in a fight against kids. You're not in a fight against a single person you're debating against. He says our battle is against the entirety of the world. And our victory is found in faith. How does faith overcome the world? Well, it overcomes the world in that we overcome its influence. We live in a world that is just overwhelmingly filled with darkness, with moral confusion. How can anybody find truth and find the light in the midst of such darkness? Well, actually, it's really easy to find light in darkness, isn't it? And that's exactly what we have. Our faith leads us to light. It leads us to clarity. And so in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus gives us tremendous hope if we recognize him as Lord, if we follow him. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, but he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The world tries to obscure truth. Truth is revealed in Jesus. Our faith that he is the master, our faith that his words are the right words, in the midst of such a dark world, we win. We are not fooled by the deceptions, by the lies, but we see truth. And so we overcome the world's dark influences. And we overcome its persecution, because if the world can't get you to join you, to join them, the world will simply squash you. That's how the world works. We will make it to where you can't exist. And so they strive to persecute us. And Hebrews chapter 11, that's the wrong passage up there, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38. You should know Hebrews 11 when we talk about walking by faith. Hebrews 11 is that passage that says over and over and over and over again, by faith. And it talks about the various things that people did by faith. And then he just runs out of time, so he stops talking about particular individuals and he just starts throwing things at us. He's lobbing different things that everybody has gone through. And so he says in verse 35, and these are things that people done by faith. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They were went about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. How'd they do all of that? How did they endure all of this persecution? To me, just the sawn in two really sticks out to me. Gruesome, difficult things. How'd they do it? By faith. Faith gives us the ability to overcome whatever the world throws at us. Whatever it is your employers or your fellow employees throw at you. Whatever it is your family or your neighbors or society throws at you, faith grants us the strength to overcome. Jesus said, and you remember we looked at John 16, verse 33. Jesus talks about this peace. So here the world desires to give us war and violence, and God gives us peace. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. You notice the tribulation doesn't take away our peace. No matter what the world throws at us, it doesn't take away our peace. We overcome the world, and here's why. But take courage, I have overcome the world. They couldn't stop Jesus, so what did they do? They killed him, and that stopped him. Oh, no, it didn't. They couldn't stop Jesus, so they killed him, and that didn't stop him either. He was resurrected. And so also we have this faith in God, and it means that no matter what the world does to us, even if it comes to the point where they torture us and kill us, that won't stop us. Because we follow a Lord who overcomes death and grants us life, and life this world cannot touch. So in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about, and we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, Paul talks about why he keeps pushing on and why he keeps preaching when everywhere he goes he's being stoned, he's being persecuted. Why do you keep telling people what you believe, Paul? Why do you keep spreading this gospel? And he says, having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. I know they might kill me, but they won't defeat me. That's what he's saying. I keep going because no matter what they do, I have this faith, this confidence in God. Faith to such a degree that he says, I know this. The God who raised Jesus will raise me. I will overcome. Therefore, I will not quit. And so we overcome the persecution of the world because of our faith. And then we overcome its outcome. The world is racing headlong towards damnation. And it wants to take all of us with it. And you know what? At one time, every single one of us was joined in that path. We were all going there. And we escaped by faith. We escaped the outcome of the world. So in 1 John chapter 2, you might recall that we looked at verses 13 and 14 where he talks about how these young men who had overcome, how they were strong, they'd overcome the evil one. The next thing he goes into, and then verse 15, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away. And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. There are two of our things on that in our list in those passages. The first one is we've avoided the influence. We've overcome its influence. The love of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. That's not from God. It's from the world. We overcome it. But then he says, the world is passing away. It's coming to an end. It is being destroyed. It will be destroyed. And all of mankind will face judgment. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We overcome the outcome of the world. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, for by these he has granted to us his promises and magnificent promises, so that by them, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We've escaped the world. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, he talks about those after they have escaped the defilement of the world. And then you go to chapter 3, and we see that the world is headed towards judgment. Verse 7, but by his words the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But we've escaped that. He goes again in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promises, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And so the world is doomed, and we look for what comes next. So when John says faith is the victory, he means it. It's what helps us to overcome the influence, the persecution, and the outcome of the world. But why is faith the victory? That's the question that gets me about the passage. It seems weird to me. Faith is the victory. Well, faith is the victory because it defends us against false teaching. And this should seem pretty obvious, right? Faith helps us to overcome the influence, the teachings of the world. Faith is our defender. So go back to 1 John chapter 2. John says of the young men, remember young men, there's no hope for them, right? No, he says of them that they've overcome the evil one. How'd they do that? Verse 14, I have written to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. It is faith in God's word, internalizing it and following it, grants us victory. Chapter 4, we looked at verse 4, he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Look at the context. It's about false teachers. Beloved, in verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. And then Ephesians 6 and verse 16, which describes then the weaponry that we wear, it is the shield of faith. So faith gives us the victory because it is our defense. It reveals light. It protects us from error and darkness. Okay. Faith is the victory because it gives us strength of a spiritual focus. We've talked about this. We've looked at this. It gives us the ability to overcome persecution because faith keeps us focused on the right things, not the pain, not the suffering, not the shame, not the immense numbers of people that are attacking us, but on what's to come. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says this is momentary light affliction we're going through. But what comes next is this immense weight of glory and life. And so a focus, a faith-filled focus on the future helps us to endure the persecution of the present. And so that's why in James chapter 1, James tells us to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. In verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But that's not what gives me a pause for the passage. No, what gives me a challenge with the passage is, why does faith give us the victory? You see, I believe, and everybody else does too. Everybody believes. We just believe different things. So why is it that faith is the victory if everybody has some faith? We believe in God, and others believe there is no God. That's their faith. Is that their victory? Is faith the victory for all? It did not seem to me that the victory was within me. That it's my faith is the great victory. I conquer. I win. That didn't seem quite right. And so it seemed like a weird passage to me. But the answer to it is this. Faith is the victory not because it's just any faith, but it is a proper faith. It is a focused faith. So if we go back to 1 John 5, we've read verse 4 several times. The next verse, verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's a specific faith. You see, there were some people that were actually a part of their problem in 1 John. There were people that were entering the churches and causing all sorts of problems, denying that Jesus had come in the flesh, denying his deity, denying various aspects of them. They were a part of the world. They were a part of the problem. And he is saying, but what we believe gives us victory over them because we believe Jesus is the Son of God. It is a particular faith that grants us victory. And it is not our victory at all, but it is God's. He is victorious, and we find victory through him. So go back to 1 John 4 and verse 4 again. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, not because you're great, not because you're smarter than them, not because there's more of us than there are in the world, not because somehow we're more righteous than the world, though I would hope that we accomplish that in following Jesus. But the reason we have victory is because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God is the victory. The battle belongs to him. So Romans chapter 8, this great passage about victory in which it says that we overwhelmingly conquer is a passage about God and his greatness. It starts off, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? It's not about us being great, it's about God being great. If he's for you, what can anybody do to you? What can they do? I've told you before, I still think it's one of the funniest things of the Bible. When the people gather together threatening to kill Lazarus. Why? Because God had resurrected him from the dead. That's their brilliant plan. Let's kill him again. But you have a God who cannot be conquered by death. And when you have a God who can create life and everything out of nothing, what can the world do to you? When you have a God who can take those who are dead and bring them back to life, he can bring them into heaven, what can the world do to you? The victory is not ours, it is his. But it is ours through him. So continue on in Romans 8, verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Verse 39, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our victory is not ours, it's God's. It's his greatness. So why then does John say faith is the victory when it is God who is the victory? And the answer is very simple. Because faith is what connects us to God. So if we go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The one who believes the truth, the message that God has delivered, you are from him. Then what he says in verse 4, for whoever is born of God. Now real quick, who's born of God? The one who believes in Jesus. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world then. It's our faith. God always wins. We win too because we have faith in him. Our faith is the victory because it connects us to him. So I have written down up there Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. And it's a passage that speaks of our relationship to God being directly connected to our faith. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'd just like to point out the very next verse. Faith is really, really important. It's not the only thing. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And so it is faith that connects us to Jesus. And it is then faith that gives us the victory. So, sum up the passage. I don't have a lot more to say to you. From here, from this room, we go out into the world, and the world seeks to conquer us. And maybe you don't realize it, and maybe you don't feel it, and maybe you're ignoring it. But I recommend very highly that you wise up and recognize that the world has an agenda, and it is to stop you, and it is to conquer you. And so the things that are going to go on this week, they are your battle, and you will lose unless you focus on your faith. The battle for truth, the battle to overcome temptation, the battle of persecution is won through our faith. And so, brothers and sisters, let us walk by faith, for faith is the victory. If there are any here who are not Christians, you are on the path of sin. You are on the path that leads to doom. And God has offered you an invitation to say, change. Come join Him. Do you believe Jesus was sent by God? Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God, that He died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later? If you believe those things, it's time to take the next steps, to act on that faith, to walk by that faith. Repent of your sins. Confess that faith. Be baptized into Him. As Galatians 3 and verse 27 said, be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. We encourage you to do that right now. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, won't you come back once more to the victory? Won't you come back to Jesus as we stand and as we sing?
Kneel at the cross.